The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next, Beth gives us insight to not miss the greatest adventures God has for our lives.
Way outside your comfort. If you're not like really comfortable with what you're doing, you may not be operating in the fullness of your calling. Because this I can tell you, it's what I've learned from my own experience with Christ. God is a whole lot more interested in my calling than my comfort.
Stay tuned as Beth Moore reveals the God of all comforts next on Life Today.
Thank you very much, and we welcome you to Life Today. I'm James Robinson, and this is Betty, and we call this particular day Wednesdays with Beth. We actually are, you're going to hear, somehow, Beth says, we got her out of her comfort zone.
Just a little bit.
Now, you can't imagine. I mean, we really, people like comfort. After all, the Holy Spirit is comforter, so God's certainly not opposed to comfort. But sometimes we have to be stretched. And Beth's going to talk about the stretching on the mission field. Would you understand anything about
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. I know exactly what she's talking
Do you feel like
about.
You're out of your comfort zone?
A lot.
Do you feel like you're out of your comfort zone when you come
I'm
here
I'm out of my
television?
Comfort zone right here.
But you do wonderful. Thank you. I think you're going to be mightily blessed as Beth talks about what it is really like to experience life outside the comfort zone. And wait until you hear her tell you the effect it had on her. Here's Beth.
Number three is this. If we retain comfort as our God instead of receiving from the God of all comfort, if we continue to be motivated, if we're driven by our agliophobia, our fear of any kind of agony, now all of us dread it, nobody wants it, but I'm talking about when we're driven to avoid it. When we make relationships based on how we can avoid pain, when we put ourselves in circumstances where we can most avoid pain, that's what I'm talking about. When we're driven by it, when we're motivated by it. We've already seen that if we sign up for a life compelled by comfort, we're going to live a life of relational disasters. We're going to live in a rut of relational disasters. We've already also seen that we're going to live a life of constant addiction. Because we're going to turn to something, some kind of substance, some kind of behavior, because life is hard and we all want to feel better. Is that fair? I want to feel better. We're not talking about not having any comfort. We're not talking about getting where you just don't need comfort. We need comfort. But it's talking about finding it from a source that gives us the grace to live victoriously instead of the guilt to stay in the trap. That's what we're talking about. Number three is this. We will miss the greatest adventures of our calling. We will miss the greatest adventures of our calling. If we remain compelled by comfort, we're going to miss some of the greatest adventures that God has ever placed before man. And you know what? We're going to be bored stiff and wonder why God never called us to do anything outside this little rut we're in. How willing would we be to just flat go? Because the first word over and over again that you will see of the calling of God on one life after another, Old Testament and New Testament, is go. Go. Listen, in order to go anywhere, we got to leave someplace. Anybody know what I'm talking about? There's just no way to go without leaving. That's just the only way we're getting from A to B. We're also not going to go and take all of our stuff with us as much as I want to. We're going to have to find a way that we're able to be driven by something that says, I would leave every comfort behind to know the adventure of being compelled by nothing but the love of Christ. If we choose comfort to motivate us, we will risk our callings. Because this I can promise you, your calling is fulfilled way outside your comfort. Way outside your comfort. If you're like really comfortable with what you're doing, you may not be operating in the fullness of your calling. Because this I can tell you, it's what I've learned from my own experience with Christ. God is a whole lot more interested in my calling than my comfort. He said, I'll comfort you, and then you're going to spend eternity in a mansion that has been prepared for you. And until then, you and me are going to have a little fun on this planet and put some comforts far behind. I want to tell you, I wish you knew the depth to which I mean this. You have never known a bigger scaredy cat than me. Never. I'm scared of my own shadow. I'm scared of everything. I was sharing with the group before we began this session, when we just got to talk back and forth for a little while, I have to make the choice every single time I teach and use the spiritual gifts God has given me. I have to choose to press past my fear. I still deal with a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety, a lot of personal insecurity. It doesn't matter how you reason it with me. It's just a battle that I have fought all my entire life. By nature, I'm a scaredy cat. And by nature, I promise you, I'm a comfort lover. I love my things. I don't have really fancy things for the most part. Keith and I live in the same house we've lived in for 23 years. But why was it when he wanted to move, I would not move? Because I wanted my comforts. I wanted it just the way it had always been. I wanted it just like it was, because that is where I felt comfortable. What's driven this message in this series? I told you that I really dedicate this message to Life Outreach, because if anything has taught me what I am sharing with you, it has been this ministry. It's been Betty and James who have caused me to do more things I was not comfortable with than just about any godly person I can describe to you. I certainly had zero intention of doing any kind of work on television. Zero. Zero. No desire to do it. Had told God I wasn't going to do it. Didn't even want to do any kind of radio. I wanted to find my little group, and I wanted to stick with my little group. That's how I wanted it. But recently, Keith and I just returned from another trip, an LOI trip to rural Africa. This is where this began to press on me as I thought through. You know, here's the thing. You could find so much better stories than the one I'm about to tell you. So many people have done far more courageous things, but I only have my life to share. You understand what I'm saying? I only know from my own perspective what it's like to have lived in the grip of fear and then to find yourself doing things you know in your natural man you're too scared to do. You know that cannot be you. You know something has overtaken you, and that God has had a victory in you because you know you are not capable of doing that. So I share this story with you knowing that there are far better stories out there. But here's one of mine. Because here recently, just within the last couple of months, we flew to South Africa, got on another little plane. And when I say little plane, I do mean a single prop engine. No, I think it did have two props, but it was a 5-seater, and one of the seats was a potty. Now, I ask you, I just have to ask you a question. Who is going to use that? Who is going to use it? And I mean, we'd be on it for hours, absolutely hours. They would say, be sure to hydrate yourself. It is because it's Africa. I'm going, I'm not hydrating myself. Well, certainly, I mean, we just had prayer and fasting where you're sitting in the seat, you're just rocking back and forth like this going, when are we landing? And we were in such claustrophobic conditions. I'm talking this plane. We were with another couple that we just dearly love that also serve with Life Outreach, with James and Betty. They were just partners with them and have been for years and years and years, long before we came into the picture. And we were sitting with them knee to knee. I'm talking about my man is not small. He's not fat, but he is a good size hunk of a man. So is hers. And I mean, they were crammed over there together. They got to know each other so well because they had just sit on each other. They couldn't help it. You know, men don't like to touch. I mean, they just had no choice. They were just all over each other. And there we were sitting across from knee to knee in such cramped conditions. And then when we got on the plane, I just loved how one guy, the pilot, there was one pilot, and he started up the engine while the other went out there and did this with the prop. I mean, that is unsettling. That is just unsettling. I said, don't even look out the window. And then when we get out there, then we move into a vehicle because there are so many, there have been so many landmines and so many years of misuse and all the rural roads, and they're so torn up, so many years of civil war in Angola. The roads are terrible. You have never, I don't care where you're from, you could not know the definition of potholes in the same way that I'm talking potholes. I'm talking about, am I telling the truth? I'm looking over at my friend Betty, who knows exactly what I'm talking about because she has been there over and over, and you bounce around until your brains feel like they are coming loose from your skull. Somebody knows the kind of thing I'm talking about. And I'm talking way, way, way out in the rural villages, and at the risk of being indelicate, there are no restrooms. I need somebody to understand what I'm saying. I am made for nice ladies' facilities. That's how I was created. To me, it's just a basic life need. I'm one of those, even if I'm in a shopping center, if I open up the public restroom door and it doesn't look a certain way, I'm still gonna turn around and I'm gonna go get my car and I'm gonna go home because I like the comforts of clean facilities. Stay with me here. I'm not talking about no clean facilities. I'm talking about no facilities. And I'm talking about hours and hours. You might be saying, listen, I'd have hailed it. Oh, no, you would not. Oh, no, you wouldn't. Oh, no, you wouldn't. I'm just going to be careful how I say this so it makes the edit here so that they can leave this the message intact. But I'm talking, you know, Dorothy has left Kansas when she is looking out into the field for the right tree. Me. I don't know why I felt the need to say this, and I've been with these friends before, and that we girls just go off by ourselves together, but I always feel the need to say, you know, I don't really do this with anyone. I don't really do this with anyone. I don't know why, but I just feel the need to always tell them. They go, you know, we do, Beth, we do. At home, we just go to the yard. None of us would choose to do that. And I would just be sitting there literally and thinking to myself, what in heaven's name does God have me doing? Listen, if you are an agliophobic, and if you're just now tuning in with us, that is a word that means phobia of pain or discomfort. You want to stay away from rural Africa. You probably want to stay away from any mission trip. But wouldn't you miss the adventure of a lifetime? I just wonder how many people are just bored. Just bored. Have people tell me continually, you know, I found church boring. I'm going, you know what, buddy? You may have found a boring church, but you don't have a boring God. You talk about a drama king. There's nothing boring about God. You just have to go with him. You just have to go with him. Talk about discomfort, where we went over and over again, stop after stop and day after day, all your senses are completely assaulted. Your sense of sight, you see things that you think, I'm never going to get over that. Never get over that. When you think to yourself, I'd swat the flies from that child's face, but they come right back. We saw a little bitty guy who had fallen in their village fire, hand down. It assaults my sense of sight, sense of smell. The hearing. To hear the babies cry, and not just like babies cry here, unless they're sick and very hungry. In order to do what God had called us to do, we had to be willing to look straight in the face of human suffering without glancing to our right or glancing to our left, looking straight in the face of it with some thought. Listen, if you ever let it get to you to where you think there's just nothing that can be done, you have had it. Because if I have learned anything at all, there is something that can be done. And you think, but just one life at a time. Listen, to that one life, it's everything. I guarantee you, to that one life, to those hundreds of thousands of kids that are now getting fed, I promise you, it's everything. To see children lined up for a country mile, as tiny as can be. Our kids wouldn't even know how to stand in line that long, holding their little bowl because they know you're going to put food in it. And to watch the adults stand there because it's a children's feeding program. I mean, there is not the money to go around to every single person of adult ages except the nursing mothers in that village. Stunning. Stunning. To where you think, I don't know if I can recover from this. And glory to God, you don't. And then you come home and you're totally exhausted beyond any kind of exhaustion I can describe to you. You have given everything you have got. You sit back and you close your eyes and the tears roll down your cheeks and you say to the Father, I would not have got chills all over me. I wouldn't have missed that for the world.
To obtain information on Beth's teaching materials and for her speaking schedule, visit us online at lifetoday.org.
And I know Beth's not exaggerating even slightly. Even the reference to what she was experiencing right there as she closed. Just the presence of God, what you see, and I'm telling you, this is just a fact. When you look through the eyes of Jesus, see people where they are, and you begin to understand what love can do in impossible situations. One of the real problems we have in the more advanced countries is we have learned to depend upon the things that we see and the comforts around us and even get irritated if they're not all just exactly right. And somehow we lose sight of the greatness of God and His blessings enable us to have some of these things that give us comfort. But Betty, when we look beyond our comfort and we see the very real pain, the reality of where people live, and then we recognize love is really the answer. I want you to listen very closely to a woman, to a mother, to a wife, talking about how something that we consider as simple as just getting a drink, how it took away that which was precious to her. And the fact that because of love, if we'll move beyond our comfort level, we can change everything for people just like the one represented. Watch closely.
This is Alatsua. She comes here every day with her children to collect water. Alatsua is in mourning. Her husband died 2.5 months ago. She was told that he had amoebas that came from the water he drank.
I worry because my children have stomach problems from drinking this water. We are very poor, and I have no other place to go and get water for us.
1 year ago, she also lost her oldest daughter to the same illness.
What goes on when you look at a situation like that? I don't know what you're thinking.
Well, First of all, her first tragedy, she lost her daughter and then lost her husband. And I'm sure she and the children depended on greatly in love. She has to be asking who's next and wanting so much to give her children the water, the pure water that they need, James, but that you have to have water. They have to have water. And so they have no choice. And that's what breaks my heart is they don't have a choice to drink the clean water. But we can make that difference.
You see, Betty, because of a missionary literally taking us to that particular setting, we told them that we would drill them a well. And we told them that with confidence, not only in God, but a confidence in the viewers of life today, that you would enable us to do it. As a matter of fact, we've told the people in over 400 areas where missionaries have pointed us to a need that can realistically and effectively be met. And so we told them we were going to do that. So you can imagine that hope springs up. But the only way we can fulfill our desire is for you to enable us to help the missionaries and the services and the groups that we have either hired or we have bought the rigs and put them in place, which you paid for over the years. We drill the well, and it takes $4,800. I have an idea that's going to increase with the ever-increasing cost of fuel, both diesel and gasoline. It's just going out of sight. But we're believing God will touch hearts of people like you who will say, you know what, I can help. And let me just give you an example. If you couldn't afford to drill a well, and we've got people who tell us there's no greater joy. Betty and I love to do this. We ask God to enable us to do it. We believe God answered our prayer. We've been able to do it. Every time the missionaries say, okay, here's an opportunity, well, we say, okay, we're in. Well, you do it if you can drill a well. But maybe you could say, well, I can't do that, but I can give $2,400 and pray somebody matches and steps up beside me, or $1,200 and pray three others do. Please do that if you can. I'm asking you to. Just take your bank card, go to the phone, use it like a check, or write a check, make it to Life, call us and tell us you're mailing it, or go online, lifetoday.org, and just say, I want to make my gift today. But keep this in mind. This is so important. The majority of the support comes from people who say, you know what, I can't do that, but I can help. As an example, $48, 10 people water the rest of their life. You'll be contributing toward the well. $144 gift, 30 people water the rest of their life. Could you help 10? Could you help 30? Whatever you can do. Would you just dial that number? Please don't turn away. Think about that mother. Think about the missionaries. Think about the people. We've given them hope. Now let's give them the help that makes hope a reality. Please make that call. We've got some very special gifts for you to bless you, and you are giving the gift of life. Thank you for doing it. Thank you for making the call.
Every day, millions of children are forced to make a dreadful choice: drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease, or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is that there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most exciting and viable demonstrations of God's love in the world today. The suffering can end because clean water changes everything in life. With your support, we will drill 415 new water wells in remote villages in 15 different nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will reach 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. In appreciation for your gift to help drill these new wells, be sure to request the Kingdom Life Journal. This beautiful leather-bound prayer devotional includes both Psalms and Proverbs, as well as a place to write your own reflections as God speaks to you through His Word. Also, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And you may request the journal as well as our beautiful commemorative bronze sculpture, Heart of the Father. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online today.
You know, I'm kneeling down here by what is a common water source for little village areas. This river meanders through this part of Central America. And it's the water source. It's contaminated with animal waste. It's contaminated with human waste because they don't have any sewage. They have no running water. So they go to the bathroom out here in the bush and the brush. And then it washes here. And people get all kinds of intestinal diseases. And clean water, fresh water, that's the answer. And this is what they have now, making them sick, killing a lot of them, very young. But we can give them a fresh water well. You may be able to give one, or give toward it, or give a cup of water that adds up and becomes a well of water. But we need everyone's help. You make a life-giving call today, please.
Well, Betty, and I want to thank you for the gift God put on your heart. I'm not exaggerating when I say you're giving the greatest gift. You're giving people life. And the missionaries are going to tell them about life eternal. And the receiving of that life is what put the love in our hearts to help them have water. The real water of life is available. And we want you to get the Kingdom Life Journal. It's going to be a tremendous blessing to you. Journaling has blessed us so much, and it will you. And I really hope you'll get the bronze. And do what you can to help us drill those wells. Make a real special gift. Pray somebody will do what you do or match it or come alongside. But whatever you can do, we just say thank you because you really are giving life from the bottom of our heart. Thank you.
And that means taking all of Scripture, not having it censored by the ACLU or by the government or by the IRS.
The ACLU versus America, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.